Hi, Joel. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Are you doing all right?
God, this is the worst opening ever. You just open...
Yeah, there's going to be so many pirate puns during this episode, Joel.
That's awesome. I'm glad we're back in 2004, because really, I miss those days.
Hey, I have something really fun to play for you right now.
Oh, okay. All right, let's hear it.
Are you ready, Joel?
Yes.
Are you ready, Joel?
Fucking, I was trying to find a way to work that goddamn pun in.
Are you ready, kids?
Yes, Captain Steven!
I can't hear you!
Yes, Captain Steven!
Oh, they run a podcast from under the sea!
Curly Mustache!
They're stupid and ugly and smell like cat pee!
Curly Mustache!
All that they do is bicker and bitch!
Curly Mustache!
But when it comes to villains, they know their shit!
Curly Mustache!
Curly Mustache! Curly Mustache! Curly Mustache! Curly Mustache!
That is the greatest fucking thing I have ever heard in my life.
You see, Joel, that is what happens whenever you postpone the podcast by 30 minutes. I get all sorts of ideas in my head.
Holy shit. That is the greatest intro to a podcast ever. And I managed to get Mark fucking Maron to do an intro for my old podcast. And that just blew it the fuck out of the water. Holy... How'd you do that?
It's easy. It took me about 30 minutes. The 30 minutes you made me wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was helping my mother. Yes, I'm totally throwing out the old Joel Metal as fuck image by saying, you know, yeah, I helped my mom out today. Sorry.
All right. So, welcome to episode 10. We made it 10 episodes, Joel. Yay!
And we haven't threatened to quit yet, so I feel we've done well.
I have threatened to quit many times, thank you. You haven't threatened to quit yet.
All right, which is, you know, to be fair, kind of impressive on my part.
All right, so who are we doing today, Joel?
Yar, today we're taking adventure to the high seas and looking into the life of Blackbeard the Pirate. And then his pop culture counterpoint, Long John Silver.
I like random white guy Joel kind of coming in there and doing the bridge in between the two.
You want me to redo it as total white guy?
No.
Okay, I got you. Here we go. I know what you want. I got you. Well, good golly. Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Curly Mustache Podcast. Today, we're going to be taking a look at Blackbeard, that gosh darn golly mean old pirate, as well as his pop culture counterpart, Long John Silver's. And no, silly, I'm not talking about the restaurant.
I feel like that intro should be used later down the line in the podcast when we inevitably do the villain from SpongeBob SquarePants. Plankton. I mean, would we really be a villain podcast if we didn't do an episode on Plankton?
But who would be his real life counterpart?
Just normal Plankton.
Yeah, because you know Plankton is just fucking shit up left and right. Just floating around the ocean being lazy. Fucking Plankton.
Alright, so as you said, Blackbeard the Pirate as well as Long John Silver.
Which, to be honest, going into this one, I didn't know a goddamn thing about Long John Silver, other than I hate the restaurant. I fucking hate that restaurant.
Well, it's fucking disgusting, number one. But number two, I'm sure you're much more familiar with his porn parody, Long Dong Silver. You just sadly look at the floor.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Considering I've been told by certain people that I'm a porn addict, so I didn't know how to respond to that.
I thought you were going to up your game a little bit and say that you were told by certain people that you have a long dong.
Oh, no. That would be a flat-out lie, and if it's one thing I don't do on this show is lie to my listeners.
All right, so let's get started with Blackbeard, otherwise known as Edward Teach, / Edward Thatch, / Edward... a billion other names, because pirates didn't really like to use their real names. Imagine that.
Well, especially if you were apparently born to nobility of some sort. Yeah, you're going to hide your name.
That's where all these fictitious nicknames came from for all these pirates, like Blackbeard.
Yeah. Do you think maybe pirates back in the day were kind of like what they are now, where parents get really embarrassed by their kids because their kids are like, I'm in a band, and they're really doing nothing with...
Oh, Cheryl! What is your firstborn up to?
Oh, goodness gracious, yes. Jeremy is off at Harvard preparing to become a lawyer and go into the family business.
I'm a pirate, Mom.
You'll be a fucking lawyer and you know it.
Yeah, so Blackbeard was, well, Edward Teach. We'll go ahead and call him Edward Teach and or Blackbeard. He was born in 1680. He died in 1718. And, of course, he was an English pirate who operated mostly around the West Indies and up and down the eastern coast of Britain's North American colonies at the time.
And what's great about this is as I was doing research, because I knew a bit about Blackbeard, but what I didn't know is he's kind of like the original boogeyman. Like, if you lived on the coast of the colonies, they would literally tell their kids to go to bed and be quiet. If you don't, Blackbeard will come and get you.
Yeah, and which is interesting, because as we get into it, like, he really wasn't that brutal of a guy. Like, we've talked about some brutal motherfuckers on the show, and Blackbeard, you know, he just kind of wanted to get his. And by get his, I mean money, not, like, get his.
Yeah, which is surprising enough, because we deal with a lot of sexual deviance in one form or another on this show, and I think he might be the first one that doesn't perform some form of rape.
You mean in the real life villains?
Yeah, in the real life villains. He might be the first one that isn't known for raping, either be it an underage boy or a corpse.
Elmer McCurdy was not a rapist.
Touche.
I think he's one of the only ones, though. So not much was really known about his young life. Like you said, Joel, it was thought that he was maybe born of nobility, or at least had really wealthy and popular parents because of who he basically willed his belongings to after he died, and we'll get to that later. But really the first, like, historical information that you can find on Blackbeard was kind of in his early life, or, you know, as a young adult. He started out as a sailor on a privateer vessel, which basically was a sellsword. And this was all during Queen Anne's War, which was, you know, kind of part of the second series of battles, you know, during the French and Indian Wars.
And if you think about it, you know, this is 1680. So it stands to reason when they say young adult, he's 12.
Yeah, probably.
He's a 12-year-old working as a privateer during Queen Anne's War in the second half of the French and Indian Wars. I really feel like we've lost something as a society because I haven't accomplished nearly as much already in my life.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't George Washington like in his early 30s or something like that? And like Hamilton and like all these ghost guys were like barely 20.
I don't think so. I think Washington was a little older, but I don't know.
Either way, this country is founded on by a bunch of kids, basically. Let's talk about when Edward Teach first became a pirate. And that is during these French and Indian Wars, he kind of hooked up with this guy named Captain Benjamin Hornigold, who we should honestly do a podcast on him later down the line, because he was one of the founding fathers of, like, notorious piracy. He was one of the original members of the Republic of Pirates in Nassau, and captained one of the most heavily armed ships, like, you know, of that entire era, called the Ranger,
which is just badass.
Oh yeah.
Hey, who's your boss? I don't know, some guy who founded the Republic of Pirates. Took an island. Nassau was an island that those pirates just went, this is ours now, and killed every country that tried to take it from them. Just killed everyone from every country that said, no, you can't have that island. That's your fucking boss.
Yeah, and it was like his direct boss, too. So, basically, you had Captain Hornigold on this ship called the Ranger, and they had smaller ships that went along with them. A lot of times they were called sloops, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Sailing sloops.
Right, right. A sailing sloop is like a smaller sailing vessel, which you can get around like 10, 15 cannons on, and usually around 100 men. And so Captain Hornigold gave Edward Teach this vessel and was like, basically, like, you're going to be my henchman, and you're going to run around doing pirate shit with me, and we're going to be buddies.
It's like that kid who, that viral video a while ago, the kid, like the 11-year-old kid who stole the car. And then when they asked him, he's like, I was just doing hood rat shit.
Yeah, he's doing pirate shit with his pirate friends at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's kind of heading up and down the North Carolina coast, South Carolina coast, basically robbing small seaside towns. I mean, this went all the way down to Jamaica. Like, they were just They were having a blast. Mostly stole flour, you know, money, a lot of wine, a lot of wine and rum. They were drinking a lot. And there were a lot of problems with Blackbeard's early leadership because his crew was so drunk all the time.
I wish I had a job where you're just like, let's go fuck some shit up and get drunk at the same time.
I don't know if you do. Like wrangling a bunch of unruly pirates as your job sounds exhausting.
Little insight into the world of co-host Joel. I work at a place that builds prototype exhaust systems.
Well, that sounds interesting.
I want to be drunk as fuck when I'm there. Like, I feel that if I could get scotch or vodka in there, my day could possibly be a little better. I can't imagine what it would be like just to be, you're on the seas, you're on the ocean, you're sailing, you're going to fucking Jamaica, and you're shooting off guns and you're shit-faced.
Clear water, like sunshine.
Exactly.
Exposure, scurvy, dysentery.
You're ruining it.
No running water.
But the point is, I can understand why people would romanticize this particular lifestyle. And
can you understand getting diarrhea until you die and shitting off the side of a boat? Because that shit happened. Literally, that shit happened.
Oh my god, you are so... I don't like new punny Steven. I'm not a fan of pun-filled Steven.
I'm just saying, like, I never understood that romanticism. Like, with Westworld, take for instance. Like, everybody's like, oh, I want to go in the Wild West so I can fuck prostitutes and shoot people and take baths out of bowls. And it's like, really? Like, this is where people were just dumping their shit out of their window into the street. Like, no, I don't want to live then. All right, so at this point, it was around 1717. Benjamin Hornigold, you know what? He said, I'm done being a pirate. I'm going to take my money. I'm going to take my ships. I'm going to go get a pardon somehow. And I'm going to go into retirement. And that happened. And at this point, Edward Teach didn't really have a ship, so he commandeered this slave and transport vessel called the...
La Concorde.
The La Concorde, yes. In which he changed the name to something infinitely more metal, the Queen Anne's Revenge.
And you know what I like? You know what I like, Stephen? I like how you say, he commandeered it.
Right.
Translation. He had a violent altercation, killed everyone on it, and took it as his own. And sunk his old ship after he got all his shit off of it.
He didn't kill everyone involved. He did give the slaves that were on board the choice of becoming his crew or being left on an island to be captured.
So he really gave them no choice.
Well, some of them didn't. Some of them didn't come with
them. They probably died and or went back into slavery. So he really didn't give them much choice.
Yeah. The ship also had some gold dust on it, silver plates, and, I quote, a very fine golden commander's cup.
You know that must be one fucking great cup.
Yeah.
When that's, when there's like, oh, there's gold dust, silver plates, and oh my god, just look at this golden commander's cup. Ooh.
It probably was like jewel encrusted or something.
Yeah, it basically looked like the cup that the Nazi from Indiana Jones drank from.
You chose poorly.
Yes. Yar, I know I did.
Arr, I chose wisely. He, at this point, also outfitted the Queen Anne's Revenge with 40 fucking cannons. Which is a fuck ton of cannons at this time.
That's a fuck ton of cannons anytime.
Right, but specifically at this time, when most ships this size had around 20, he said, fuck that, we're going to double this. We're going to double down on this motherfucker.
He had a fucking plan, a vision for what he was going with. He knew, Blackbeard knew branding is the way of the future. And he's going to make his brand, which you find out later on, he really did brand himself.
Yeah.
Like, he knew how to sell the story of Blackbeard.
You know, going right into that, he grew his fucking beard out nice and big and shaggy. It was jet black. And he used his intimidation as this kind of burly guy with a giant black beard and kind of a...
A boat with 40 fucking cannons on it.
A stern face. But also, I had read that he would often have short fuses and dynamite under his hat that he would show people, in which he would just be like, I'll blow this entire fucking thing up with you on it. I'll blow us all up. I don't give a fuck. It's like a kamikaze pirate, almost.
What I also like is the strange kind of, I guess dichotomy would be a good choice of the word, because he cultivated this image and this mythology of being just, you know, Captain Badass.
He'd probably, like, capture people and be like, all right, so the only way I'm letting y'all go is if you each tell a different made-up scary story
yes.
about me. And the top three stories get to live, so... All right, here we go. Tell me your story.
But at the same time, he was known for being diplomatic with other pirate crews. He wasn't, if you disagreed with him, he wasn't known to get violent and just kill you on account of principle. And on top of that, when it came to capturing people for ransom, he was known not to be purposely brutal to his captives, which... was impressive back in the day, because that usually involved rape and murder. And a lot of rape before the murder.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about piracy.
Exactly.
You know, the thing is with him, though, is he wasn't necessarily, like, going all in to hurt people, but all he cared about was his money and, like, his findings. So, like, if they didn't pay the ransoms, then these people just sat in the hole until they died. It wasn't a, okay, well, they're not going to pay the ransom, let's let you go. It was, you will pay the ransom or this person will die.
I don't want to hear more bullshit from people online being like, oh, Joel's romanticizing another fucking mass murder, like Genghis Khan, all right? I just know metal when I see it, and these fuckers are metal as fuck.
Yeah, so at this point in Blackbeard's, like, reign, and I say reign because he basically controlled coastal America from... Virginia all the way down past Florida at this point. But mainly, he would recruit, like, other pirates. You know, he had a... I don't remember the name of it, but he had a huge Spanish vessel join his flotilla, which I fucking love that word, by the way.
Flotilla?
Flotilla. Yeah. And flotilla is like a bunch of ships, kind of like a fleet.
Yeah, it's basically a war party. It's a war party on the water.
Which is also a really fun thing to say. War party.
You are just in a mood today. Look at you.
I am. So anyway, I just love talking about fucking pirates and the ocean and shit like that, man. This is like my passion.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And I live in fucking North Carolina. Like, Blackbeard's fucking ship, like, was sunk just down the fucking road, basically.
And I'm not asking this to be a smartass in any way, shape, or form, but I'm being legit. You live by the beach, right?
I live literally, like, 10 miles as the crow flies to the ocean.
Okay, have they say, and I guess I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I meant to ask you this. Do they have that thing where people in your area will talk about seeing the ghost ship of Queen Anne's Revenge, or seeing the ghost lights, or is that part of your area's culture? Because
let's not blow that load yet, since you love when I say that.
Every time you say that, I'm going to make the creepiest orgasm noise ever.
Can't wait. Guess I'll never say it again then.
It worked way bad.
All right, so at this point, like, Blackbeard and his flotilla, like, take over the port in Charleston, South Carolina, or I guess at that time it was Charlestown, South Carolina. And over the course of 6 days, they stopped any English ships from going in and out, completely ransacked them, robbed them all, captured prisoners, ransomed, you know. But rather than just letting them die, he actually let all the prisoners go in Charleston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knew where his bread was buttered. Like, And you'll notice this not just with pirates, but the Vikings also did the same thing. Yes, the Vikings were well known for being brutal as fuck to on raids. But what they began to do, especially in places like Jorvik, when they took over York, Blackbeard did this as well. Is that where they would hit regularly? They'd still, you know, fuck shit up, but they'd play with kids' gloves. Comparatively, because they knew this is where we get some good money. We're going to come back. We kind of want them to be scared of us. But if we kill
everyone... better have that motherfucking money when I get back.
Exactly. If you kill everyone, then you have to go through all the work again with the new group of people.
Right. It's essentially the Pirate 1600 or Pirate 1700s version of a shakedown.
I can only imagine what a fucking New Yorker pirate would sound like. All right, there. Listen here, jerky. You're going to walk the plank. Do you understand me? All right, there. Yar! Whatever the fuck you're trying to say there.
I was going to say, like, if you didn't add the yarg, then it would just be a New Yorker, but...
Oh, imagine what Blackbeard would sound like if he were like, Don Corleone.
I'm going to make you walk the plank. And then... Oh, Steven! Oh, my son, look at you. You're handsome on the seven seas. Let me ask you something. Steven, how tight is your butthole? It's been so long I've been on the sea. You're very fluffy. You look handsome.
That's weird. All right, you made it weird.
I know it did.
After Charleston, or Charlestown, Blackbeard, you know, he was cool. Like, he was like, you know what? I've got my money. I have my ships. I think I'm going to go settle down in Bath, North Carolina.
Which is ironic, considering pirates stank to high heaven, so...
Right. So he settles down in Bath and actually was granted a royal pardon.
Well, yeah, of course he got royal pardon. Everyone asks, like, how could he possibly have gotten a royal pardon? It's just, you know, whatever. The point is that everyone knew what a badass he was, and it's better to give the badass... You know, oh, the badass wants to quit and he wants a pardon? Yes, give him what he wants. He'll leave us the fuck alone.
Right, and not only that, but, like, he had basically a small army. Like, he had about 250 men on his ship, Queen Anne's Revenge, and then he also had a smaller sloop that sailed with him. I don't have the name of that ship, but it had 10 guns on it and another 100 men. So we're basically looking at 350 men that were with him going into Bath, North Carolina, that settled in the area. So nobody was really going to attack him.
No.
Not worth it. Not worth it.
Pirate gentrification of a neighborhood is just never a good thing. Those fucking pirates move in. Land values go down.
Right, right. But you know what? At this point, you know, several of his crew were kind of moving off through the country. He's kind of like settled at this point. He thinks, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm a pirate. My first wife is the Seven Seas. And he takes off back on his boat and starts doing pirate shit once again.
And it does not go well for him. It's kind of like when Michael Jordan came out of retirement to go play baseball.
Right, right.
It just didn't work at all.
He went back out and started doing pirate shit. And at this time, the governor of Virginia, you know, because North Carolina, Virginia are right there. The governor of Virginia said, okay, I've had enough of this shit. I'm going to send some sellswords and I'm going to send some naval officers and we're going to go kill Blackbeard. So what happens? Blackbeard is kind of off the coast of North Carolina, kind of going up and down a sandbar. It's nighttime. He's partying. He's entertaining some guests. And he still has this Spanish vessel several miles away. The sellswords commanded by...
Okay, can I just say... We really should not have done that Game of Thrones episode because you were just throwing sellsword around left and right. And that's all they throw around in that fucking show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing, though.
I know, but they were not sellswords.
Yeah, they basically were.
They're fucking pirates.
No. Well, yeah. Yeah, they were. They were basically. They worked for the governor, essentially. They weren't like, they didn't do pirate shit. They were hired guns, essentially.
They were privateers, I believe is the term.
Right, yes, yes,
privateers. All right, not sellsword. See, every time you say sellsword, all I can think of is Peter Dinklage. And it's really throwing me the fuck off.
Okay, I'm sorry. A privateer and a sellsword are the same fucking thing. Just one is a fucking captain of a small boat and kills people with cannons and a sword. And fucking guns.
Okay, I'm sorry, I've got some weird OCD shit going.
You do.
Please, continue.
I will continue.
I'm so sorry. Steer the fucking ship, Captain Steven.
You fucked up my entire flow. These forces were led by this guy named Robert Maynard. And after they get past the Spanish vessel, they basically sneak up on Blackbeard's ship while he's partying and entertaining guests. And they essentially get side by side with the ship because... Blackbeard did not have anybody looking out. It was like one of the first times he never had anybody looking out because they were partying.
This is what happens when you fucking come out of retirement, man.
you've lost a step.
It's like drug addicts when they come back to hitting it after a long time. Is they think they can handle it like they used to, and it gets them fucked up. He thought he didn't have to, you know, start from square one, which is watch your fucking back.
Right, exactly.
And you let a guy whose last name sounds like the guy from fucking Tool, which if you think about it, that would be the most awesome Tool song ever if he did a song about the final battle between him and Blackbeard. No, but can I talk about this battle?
I wanted to talk about the battle, but yes, you can.
Okay, go on.
No, keep going. Go ahead. Take it away.
Okay, so from what I've read about this, and I had to look up multiple sources, because it just seemed far too cinematic to actually be a real thing.
See, that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, this is a straight-up movie scene.
But literally, Blackbeard's ship and Maynard's ships were touching side by side. Blackbeard is standing on the bow of his ship, not the bow, the side of his ship on the railing. Maynard is standing on the railing of his ship, and they are fucking trying to shoot each other with flintlock guns and sword fighting as the ships. Imagine, if you will, ladies and gentlemen, two giant ass 17th century wooden pirate ships have now essentially crashed into each other side by side. And for our younger audiences, imagine Jack Sparrow on one side on the Black Pearl on the rail and Barbossa on the other on the rail. And they are fucking sword fighting to the death. This is fucking metal. This is a kind of way to go. They are going so back and forth. Just guns firing, knives slashing. The swords are out.
It ends kind of like fucked up. Like it's kind of a bummer because essentially, at this point, Blackbeard is about to deliver the killing blow to Maynard. Like, he has him down and is, like, about to kill him. And all of a sudden, one of Maynard's dudes just runs up behind Blackbeard and slashes his neck.
That's like a historical version of, well, I remember playing Mortal Kombat when you would hit the guy and all of a sudden the one guy would come out of the corner and be like,
Yeah, so Blackbeard, of course, has a fucking sword slash in his neck, gets down on his knees, and then the rest of Maynard's men just start shooting him and slashing him. I think he had something like 20 bullets and like 25 stab wounds in his body after he was dead.
But according to a couple of sources I read, and again, I don't know if it's real, but I really hope it is, he managed to kill one guy while getting shot. He stabbed him with the sword in the dick. He took out one last guy while getting shot 25 times. These aren't normal bullets. These are round balls of musket balls and getting cut by swords, which at this point after a battle are dulled. Dull as fuck. He's getting cut by oversized butter knives and he still manages to kill someone by stabbing him in the dick.
His crew took out like over a third of Maynard's forces too. Like, they did not go down easy.
No. Yeah, I loved it. I love it.
So what does Maynard do at this point? He fucking chops off Blackbeard's head, throws his fucking corpse into the ocean, and then hangs his head from the bowsprit of the ship.
All because Maynard really wanted to collect that reward.
Delicious reward money for Blackbeard's head.
And what I love about this is they talked about how, and this is right where the ghost stories of Blackbeard began, because they said that Blackbeard's body swam around the boat 4 or 5 times, like waving and shit,
right,
while he's swimming, like trying to find his head. And as a kid, I don't know why, but that scared the fuck out of me. Just the idea of this badass pirate just swimming around in a fucking circle.
Yeah, I mean, and going back to what you were asking me earlier, like, because I live in Wilmington, where there's, like, a lot of ports. It's a very historic city. It's about 3 hours from Charleston, north is Virginia. And I think Blackbeard's shipwreck was really not very far from here. Like, maybe about 40 miles. And there's all sorts of, like, ghost tours here in downtown Wilmington and, like, books on Blackbeard's ghost. There's a maritime museum around this area that has, like, all sorts of shit. Because they actually found his ship in 1996. They raised as much as they could from it. They basically pulled, like, I think, around, like, 250,000 artifacts from the ship to use in the museum and, like, kind of put in museums across the country. But the majority of the ship, I believe, is still sunk. They could not raise the actual, like, full wooden ship. So I think you can actually, like, take a boat out to the area now and, like, see pieces of it on clear days and stuff and go scuba diving and whatnot around there. I think it's a protected area, though.
Oh, that would be fucking amazing. But I do have to ask, of the 250,000 artifacts, was there a very fine golden commander's cup?
you know he sold that shit years before, man.
Ah, I really want to see it now. Like, I want it to be in the Smithsonian, right? In the pirate section of the Smithsonian. It's located in the section known as the R section.
Very good, very good.
Thank you. But it's just, it's a glass case with a cup in it, and it's just underneath, it just says, a very fine golden commander's cup. No other information given, just that.
Honestly, though, there was thought to be a lot of, like, gold and silver and basically treasure on Blackbeard's ships when they were sunk. So you still have people with metal detectors and treasure hunters out here on the beaches, like, searching for Blackbeard's treasure. Like, no shit. I've met people down here that will go out to the beach on weekends to try and find Blackbeard's treasure.
That's a level of self-confidence I don't think I'm ever gonna have. Like, there are people who work with the latest and greatest in technological advancement in radar and ground penetrating technology, metal detectors, literal underwater single man subs. But it's one guy with a $20 metal detector from Walmart who thinks, I'm the one. I am the fucking one.
And they could be, because people find fucking doubloons and shit like that all the time up and down the Carolina coast.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of want to do that now. There's actually, I'm going to Ireland in November. Like, my goal is, I'm not going to the big cities. I'm going to find tiny ass little towns right on the shore, right? Basically, they're all going to be shocked in Americans here. What the fuck, you know? When I was doing this research along for this episode, I started looking up Irish pirates.
Irates.
No, but I kind of want to make this vacation the pirate trip now. Like, there is so much. If you folks at home get a chance, look up Irish pirates. It's incredible. That's my little.
And I can post this on the Facebook, but actually, there's a port close to me called Southport, and it leads into the Cape Fear River, which goes into Wilmington. And they actually have a 1700s pirate ship that has been kind of refurbished, and like they've kept the original bones of it and kind of built onto it and stuff. And they actually sail it into the port for a few days and come up through the river and like put it right in the Cape Fear River for everybody to walk onto and like go through and everything.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
It's really, really cool.
I kind of want to bring my kids over there and just have them. I know that seems dumb, but I really want to.
It doesn't seem dumb. It's fucking pirate stuff. It's awesome. But also, let's talk about what happened to poor Blackbeard's head after he died.
You say poor. This is kind of...
fitting.
Again, we're going back to metal. This is the most metal ending to Blackbeard's skull.
Yeah. Basically, they turned his skull into a fucking chalice. And it was lost sometime in the 1930s.
Right now, there is some fucking goth kid listening who just got the biggest fucking boner.
I really want to drink out of Blackbeard's skull. That's my goth voice, by the way.
That was your goth voice?
Yeah.
Well, as a former goth kid.
It was very poor.
Yes, no one will ever see those pictures.
Oh, and real quick, talking about his ghost, like, they say that out near the ship sinking site, people see lights in the middle of the night whenever there's no boats around. People have said that they've seen Blackbeard's ghost, like, just the body, because it's searching for the head, and the devil can't recognize him without a head. Some really weird shit. Like, of course, you know, I don't believe any of, like, that Blackbeard shit, but still kind of weird.
I love it. I love the mythology that crops up around these particular characters. Like, he was such an evil man, Satan wouldn't let him in hell because he wasn't sure it was the right guy. And then his skull got turned into a fucking chalice that got lost in the 30s.
Oh, and you know what happened to his fucking crew?
Oh!
Some of them were hung, but several others were basically just put in gibbets, which are basically those little hanging cages that you always see in pirate movies or in, like, Willow.
Yeah, you stole my point of reference.
Right, they put you in these fucking cages and they just let you die of exposure and rot. And so they put this crew all in these cages down in this road in Williamsburg, either Virginia or North Carolina, and called it Gallows Road.
Oh, you better prep the metal music, because I didn't realize that they also, because I looked this up, they have pirate metal.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Like Ailstorm and this shit, and...
I mean, Amon Amarth is pretty close. It's more like Viking metal, but still.
I'm fascinated with just the mythology that has built up and the romanticism that is built up around these filthy, rapey, murdering bastards.
All right, so you ready to move on to Long Dong Silver?
No, but I would like to move on to the legless antagonist from Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, Long John Silver.
Ah, yes. From 1883, a few years before Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, so this is Robert Louis Stevenson's second appearance on the show.
Yeah.
He's like our Tom Hanks to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, like you said, old legless, lost his leg above the knee, right at the hip, most likely in the Royal Navy. He's kind of a bigger guy, you know, huge beard, huge barrel chest, used a crutch. And, you know, was, like you said, the antagonist from Treasure Island. He was based on Robert Louis Stevenson's real-life friend, William Henley, who was this writer and editor, who also was this big barrel-chested, broad-shouldered, red-bearded guy who used a crutch. And Robert Louis Stevenson, like, loved his friend so much. He knew he was, like, kind of cunning and had a really great personality, and basically decided to make the most charismatic and interesting character in his book based on his friend.
Yes, he made his best friend into a murdering pirate in his novel. I don't know if I'd be fucking flattered or offended as his friend, personally.
I tend to gravitate toward characters like this, and, like, I don't know why. I don't know why it is, because I'm not like this, but, like, for instance, like, Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. Like, to me, he's a piece of shit, but he's one of the most interesting characters in that show to me. Or like Magneto or Doctor Doom, like almost like puppet master type characters. Long John Silver is another one of those characters who's like very manipulative and like basically pretends to be this like loving father figure mentor to Jim Hawkins throughout the entire book. But really, he only cares about his own gains and, you know, treasure.
Your role models are really fucking weird.
I didn't fucking say they were my role models. I said...
Last episode, you're talking about how Cersei Lannister, brotherfucker, is just an inspiring character. And now you're all like, I am drawn to the morally ambiguous, murderous character of Long John Silver. Yes. You know what? Your role models worry me.
I think it just has to do with the motive behind being a villain. Like, I'm always going to be more for a villain that has, like, motives and, like, reasons to manipulate and things like that rather than just the guy who's a brutal murderer and did fucked up stuff for who fucking knows what reason.
Okay.
I don't know why. I've always been drawn to characters like that.
No, there's a moral ambiguity to these characters that I think everyone can agree that we feel we appeal to, because it appeals to that more darker nature of ourselves, given that we're in such a polite society, or a society that expects you to maintain some sort of social norms. So those particular characters, I understand the appeal, and I can definitely understand the appeal of Long John Silver, because there's a sense of freedom to his character.
Adventure.
Freedom, adventure, and he's not tied down by moral restraints that everyone in our day-to-day life, we find ourselves being held down by. Like,
there's something interesting to me about a character that pulls strings.
Oh, yeah.
Long John Silver is a very intelligent character, and there's a little bit of a caveat there because he is a pirate, so he's intelligent for a pirate, which is, like, maybe not that intelligent. But, like, he does talk about the fact, because, you know, Jim Hawkins has this map, they're going to Skeleton Island. He does talk about the fact that when he gets the treasure, he's going to, you know, basically have his wife, who was an African woman, by the way, super progressive, by the way, Robert Louis Stevenson.
Uh-huh.
1800s. This woman he trusted with all of his financial affairs. So he was basically like, I'm going to get my gold. I'm going to give it all to my wife. She's going to handle it, basically, and we're going to retire rich. You know, like I said, on the journey to Skeleton Island, Jim Hawkins, of course, he doesn't have a father. He left a mother behind. Doesn't have a father, and Long John Silver kind of stepped into this role of being protective over Jim Hawkins, caring about him, at least showing him that he cared about him. Whether he really did, you know, it's kind of up to the reader. It's not necessarily, like, ever really... The mind of Long John Silver is never really explained. You know, we know what his motives are and that it's treasure, but also, like, there are some really tender parts of this book and the dialogue between Jim Hawkins and Long John Silver that it's like, maybe he fucking did care about him and maybe he did see him as a son, but like with a lot of villains in certain pop culture, it's like, I'm not comfortable stepping out of this villain role. I have to go back because I don't know anything.
I think Stevenson, and you'll notice this with his other novels about... You'll see there's this definite sense of duality when he's writing these characters of good men who do evil or evil men who do good things. Stevenson, I noticed, was kind of the first one to write about what we would describe today as sociopaths. Sociopaths, they don't love like you and I do. They can love someone as long as it furthers what they want and gets them what they want and it keeps them... engaged. And I think that when you're dealing with a character like Long John, you are dealing with the sociopath. I think he did, in fact, from the subtext, he did care for him as much as he could or as much as his psychopathy would allow. But if you'll notice, whenever he stopped him from getting what he wanted, he immediately turned on a dime and went to being a cruel bastard.
And, you know, that kind of gets to, like, what happened, what makes Long John such a bad villain is, like, basically he got with the crew behind Jim Hawkins' back and started a mutiny. And even one guy was like, no, we're not going to do this. So he fucking shot him and threw him overboard. Okay, well, he is a murderer. He is a pirate. We now know this, even though we hadn't really seen him murder before. We do know that if he doesn't get what he wants, he turns, like you said, into this cruel fuck. At this point, they're at Skeleton Island, and he's like, we're going to get to the treasure. Or the other pirates, of course, go with him. He gets to Captain Flint's treasure, and Captain Flint, of course, was Long John Silver's captain when he was kind of a young pirate. And he actually named his parrot. Of course, you know, you see the quintessential pirate picture of peg leg and a... I mean, he didn't have a peg leg, but that's where that was derived from. His pet parrot, Captain Flint, you know, who'd say shit like, pieces of eight!
Yeah, that was it. I was racking my brain. I was like, I'm gonna have it ready. I'm gonna fucking have it ready. What the fuck did that goddamn parrot say?
Normal pirate talk. They get to the treasure chest, which these pirates open, and it's empty. So there's like five pirates at this point, and they're all like, okay, well, we're gonna fucking kill Long John Silver and Jim Hawkins. And this is where Long John Silver, like, pulls his Long Dong Silver out and is like, y'all aren't going to do shit. And he basically pulls his sword out and defends Jim and is like, I'll kill all fucking five of you. They're actually, like, kind of afraid. They leave him alone.
Well, yeah, when a one-legged man pulls out a sword and a gun, you're going to fucking back off.
It's like, well, this guy clearly has nothing to lose.
Exactly.
It's one of those fights where, like, say, like, four people gang up on you, and you look them directly in the eye, and you're like, okay, I'm telling you right now, you're going to beat the shit out of me, but I'm at least taking two or three of you to the hospital with me.
Oh, see, you and I have a very different way, because I curl up in the fetal position. I'm like, who do I have to suck to make the beating stop?
You have children, sir.
Wow. They're not fucking here, okay? And daddy's alive to pay the bills and feed them. So you can judge me all you want, but I'm not a one-legged fucking pirate as a result of getting my ass kicked, okay?
All right. At this point, Long John Silver, like, kind of has this, like, falling out with Jim Hawkins. Of course, the mutiny didn't help that at all.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But he did defend him. He did, like, basically, like, step in front of these pirates. And, you know, Jim Hawkins is a teen, so these pirates would have probably fucked him, killed him, and ate him. And not necessarily in that order, either. But Long John Silver, like, basically is like, okay, I've learned my lesson. I'm going to get on my dinghy, and I'm going to row out to sea, and you won't have to worry about me anymore. But little did you know, he had already gotten to that treasure chest and got a little sum-sum.
I, again, Treasure Island is one of those seminal classics in literature I have not read.
You're missing out.
There was a summer where I went through, you know, all the classics, but I hit more of the Jules Verne.
Yeah, I love Jules Verne.
So it's 4,000 Leagues Under the Sea and those kind of novels. But I do remember the Disney movie. Because in the 60s and the 70s, Disney went through a fucking roller coaster of live action movies. And
yeah, that's the one where I believe Robert Newman played Long John Silver.
And that's where I get my mental picture of Long John Silver is from that Disney movie. And I remember the end of that movie being like, Mom, why is he rolling away? He stole the money!
You know, that's the end. Like, Jim Hawkins is kind of like still, like, kind of endearing. Like, he's still kind of like, oh, well, you know, he was kind of like, he wasn't that bad of a guy. Even though he was.
Hawkins is a fucking idiot.
Oh, he's a teenager.
He's a fucking idiot.
Teenagers are idiots.
Okay, okay.
Imagine, like, 1700s teenagers. Well, 1700s teenagers were basically war generals.
They were, they you know, fucking had a... They were on their third wife who died from... The first who died from dysentery and measles. And onto their 27th child because they lost 24 of them.
They all had their own flotillas.
Oh my God. Sweet Jesus. Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Blackbeard for a second. Who is your personal favorite of a pop culture interpretation of Blackbeard?
Pop culture interpretation?
Be it movie, TV show.
Oh, jeez. So I haven't seen that many Blackbeard interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
But one that comes to mind, like, immediately, which is fucking hilarious, is in Black Sails. They actually take John Silver to this, kind of like a Tortuga-type place. And they're like, Blackbeard's waiting upstairs. And they're like, the Blackbeard? And they're like, yes, he wants to see you. So he gets up there, and it's like this person in a hat and a big trench coat. And like... They turn around and it's just this, like, really attractive woman, and she just opens her trench coat and there's just a giant black bush.
Oh.
And then she's like, I'm Blackbeard.
Jesus. Wow. I now have to see this show.
It's so good.
I have to watch this fucking show. My personal favorite is, and this is gonna get me some hate, but... I loved the Pirates of the Caribbean one with... Because it was Ian McShane.
Well, he's fucking great in everything, man.
Ian McShane is just brilliant in anything that he does. So just having him play fucking a demonic version of Blackbeard was... I was fucking sold.
Yeah, honestly, like, I forgot about that because that particular movie in that series sucks a big ding.
Yeah, after the first one, they all just... Diminishing returns.
What about Long John Silver? Who's your favorite Long John Silver... adaptation?
I'm gonna have to say, who was the first one that you mentioned?
Robert Newman from the Disney. Several people played him. Orson Welles played him. Jack Palance played him. Lance Hendrickson.
The Disney movies, because I distinctly remember him being that. That's the one I remember. That creepy guy whose face gave me fucking nightmares when I was a kid. But I kind of want to see one with where Lance Hendrickson plays. Oh, Jack Palance.
Yeah.
I would love to see that, too, because it's just like, Hawkins, you are my number one guy. That's a Batman reference for you kids who are, you know, real young. Because now, the more jokes I make, pop culture references, the more I realize how fucking old I am.
All right, so I'm going to mention two adaptations of Long John Silver that I really enjoy. One is, of course, from Muppet Treasure Island, Tim Curry. Plays Long John Silver.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
That's a great one. This might ruffle a few feathers because, like, this movie gets a lot of hate, and I don't understand why, because it's fucking Treasure Island. Like, you can't fuck up Treasure Island, so I don't know why it gets so much hate, but Disney in the early 2000s put out an animated film called Treasure Planet, and it was a sci-fi version of Treasure Island, and Long John Silver was voiced by Brian Murray. And he was like this crazy, like, half-cyborg pirate. And he was fucking awesome.
People talk a lot of shit about that movie. And I know why, actually. There's a very... I was listening to this podcast where they actually broke down the plot and the background story for Treasure Planet, which I've only seen once. But the reason that everyone gives that movie shit is because it is a fucking terrible movie.
No,
it is. It's dumb as fuck and annoys the hell out of me.
It's just fucking Treasure Planet. It's got a fucking amazing cast, too. Like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. Like, Emma Thompson's in it. Like,
listen, I'm not arguing that the cast is great, okay? The cast is good. But it's just a shit movie.
No way.
This is like people trying to convince me that the Royal Tenenbaums and those kind of movies are really good.
Yeah, I like Wes Anderson movies too. Sorry, dude.
Oh, the Budapest Hotel or Hotel Budapest.
That fucking movie's great. What is the matter with you?
That fucking movie annoys the shit out of me.
Well, it's just subjective, man.
Okay.
Like, all media is just subjective.
Unless, of course, you like a Rob Zombie movie, then you're a fucking asshole like I am, according to you. And before you're all like, no, Joel, I never said that. Remember, we have recordings of this shit.
Yes. No, you are a fucking asshole because Rob Zombie is terrible at everything that he does. He's terrible. He's objectively terrible.
Okay.
Flotilla.
Dragula.
No, dude, say flotilla, but like Dragula.
Flotilla!
Okay, I'll allow that one.
All I can think of is trying to change the lyrics from Dragula into a pirate theme. Burning the English ships up and down North Carolina shoreline. It's my flotilla. Thank you.
All right. So just real quick, one cool thing about Treasure Planet is I actually saw that like a couple weeks before it came out. I was actually at Disney World with my band trip or whatever in high school. And they did a special sneak preview at Downtown Disney for that movie before it came out. So we watched it a couple weeks before it actually premiered.
Okay, well then that explains why you have such incredibly fond memories of it. Because that is a cool experience for anyone. The only thing I have closest to that is I think I won a contest on AintItCoolNews.com where I got to go see the Fourth Encounter or something about aliens.
That's a terrible movie too.
Like a week. Oh, it was. I got in for free a week before it came out, and I paid too much for it.
Shall we move to the bowler scale? Or should I say the pirate hat scale? Can it be the pirate hat scale today?
The captain's hat. I'm going to give Blackbeard a... You know what? Blackbeard gets a 7.
Oh, okay.
Blackbeard gets a 7. Blackbeard... And I know that I'm making a big deal about the rape thing.
Wait, what?
About the whole not raping thing.
Oh, okay.
I know it sounds like I'm obsessing, which in a way I kind of am, because upon doing a little research for this, I learned about a common practice on pirate ships, which was called deck boys. And they were just kids that were like 11 or 12 that were kept on the ship for one reason and one reason only. And that was so people could fuck them. So, and as far as I could tell, and some historians made a big deal about making sure people knew this, Blackbeard didn't have that shit going on his boat. Like, he made sure not to.
Well, like you said, aside from, like, him ransacking and, like, capturing people for ransoming, like, he wasn't really that violent of a guy.
I mean, the 40 cannons on his ship kind of say otherwise, but I get what you're saying.
That's a testament to his intimidation. Like, you know, because it was like, you're not going to fuck with me.
If America were a ship, it would be a ship.
It was basically big dick energy. Blackbeard's fucking life was big dick energy.
I'll give it to you. I will fucking give it to you. No, but he gets a 6.5 and a 7 from me.
Okay, I'm going to give him a 5. Because he wasn't really that violent of a guy. He did a lot of stupid shit. That, like villainous shit. Like robbing people, capturing people. He did kill people in battle. But he let people die in his hull, but he wasn't, like, actively murdering people.
Yeah, well, he was kind of probably actively murdering people when he was pillaging villages up and down the shoreline of the colonies.
No, he wasn't. He was letting them go. Like, that was the thing about Blackbeard. Like,
he still gets a 6 or 7. He gets a 6.5, 7 from me. He's a fucking pirate.
I respect that. I'm just saying that, like, part of his repertoire was letting people go so that they could tell scary stories.
Yeah, that is kind of bad.
And not really that violent. So it's more on the cool side of things rather than the villainous side of things. He was a cool guy.
Oh, Christ.
I like how I got a whole bunch of shit for kind of trying to, you know, talk positively about Genghis Khan. And I really got a lot of shit on fucking Twitter.
Genghis Khan was a piece of shit.
Right? But and now you're talking about a pirate. Go on. We're done. I'm not going there.
Long John Silver gets a 7 for me.
Long John Silver gets a fucking 9.
Oh, really?
And you want to know why? And this is going to sound bad, but because I know fucking douchebags like him.
So it's personal bias.
Dated the female douchebag equivalent to people like
just
him.
Just manipulative.
I have a scar on my hand.
No, you should say that your hand is cut off at the wrist.
Yes, my hand is cut off at the wrist, or I have a little scar from a high heel from being attacked by just this kind of sociopathic jackass. So, yes. No, he gets a 9. And yes, it's from personal bias, but I know manipulative douchebags like that. Fuck that noise. Long John Silver, the more I read about him, the more he annoyed me. And the more I knew I would not like this character at all when I read the book.
The reason I'm giving him a 7 is purely because of where we've put other people on the scale. And in my opinion, he doesn't belong anywhere near Lady Bathory.
Fuck, you're right.
And, like, he doesn't belong anywhere near Ed Gein or Genghis Khan. Like, yeah, he killed somebody who disagreed with him, but it was a fucking pirate. Who gives a shit?
Then you know what? If we're going to go by that logic, I have to take my own personal feelings out of this. And I'm going to have to give him a 6. He's still a pirate. He still blew someone's brains out because the guy disagreed with him and didn't want to, you know, commit the ultimate. I mean, if you listen to Dante's Inferno, it gets you in like the 7th layer of hell. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to take it back. We are going into the take back machines and we're taking it back. And regardless of my personal feelings, we're giving him a 6.
So, yeah, I'm a 7. You're a 6. We're right around the same. We're mostly in agreement, right?
Yeah, mostly. Neither one of them could be fucking redeemed, but
hey, they tried and it didn't work. You know
exactly. Blackbeard legitimately tried.
Yeah,
he legitimately attempted to retire,
and that kind of says something too. Well, Long John Silver retired too. He took his money and went home and fucking retired.
Well. Did he make it home, or does the book end with him fucking rowing away? Because I know the movie ended with him rowing away.
Yeah, I think it's him rowing away, but his plan was to go home and then retire.
Yeah, he's in the middle of the ocean on a rowboat. He didn't make it home.
Seagulls are plucking his fucking eyeballs.
Yeah, a one-legged man with a parrot is gonna row across the Atlantic.
The parrot's eating his fucking corpse like 4 days later.
Rock, you taste like chicken.
Pieces of I ate.
Rock, pieces of flesh. Pieces of flesh.
All right, man, you ready to get to the listener feedback?
Absolutely.
Some listener feedback from Elisa,
who's becoming our new, like, super fan.
This is in response to our last episode. She says, Liz makes me feel bad for all of my bathing in infant / virgin blood to stay beautiful jokes. The making dead children talk part made me think of South Park and the J-Lo taco-flavored kisses episode, and I cackled. Every time you all say Georgie, I go back and forth between it and George Costanza, and I don't appreciate this. I'm so proud of Steven for defending Cersei. She is my favorite Lannister. She did it for her children and for Jaime. They just wanted to be happy. But seriously, I'm in love with this podcast. It is so much fun. The banter back and forth between you both is absolutely great. And the extra content you share on your pages is so wonderful. I'm so happy you decided to do this.
Wow. Damn. I just followed her on Instagram. And she seems like a lovely young lady. And I disagree with you on a few things. But you know what? You're lovely. You're kind. You're very generous with the compliments. So I'm going to let it go. And not say in any way, shape, or form that you are completely wrong on a deep, deep level for agreeing with Steven about Cersei. I am not saying that my opinion of you has dropped at least 12 stories. I am not saying that publicly in any way, shape, or form. And we have Sean from the Whiskey Reel and Nerdonomy podcast. He says, Episode 9 was awesome, but I had to stop with 21 minutes left as I am still getting through Game of Thrones. Sean, buddy, you can just listen to what the last 21 minutes, and
that'll be better.
It will be better than the entire final season.
All right, so our next piece is from Laura. She said she really likes the podcast, and she sent me that when she was listening to the Jonathan Phelps interview. And a funny story about Laura is one of the first times that we met, and we've been friends for probably going on 15 years now. One of the first times we met was at IUS on the campus. The Westboro Baptist Church was there and screaming about how God hated gay people and God hated black people and this and that and the other. And me and her were standing right next to each other, screaming back at the Westboro Baptist Church, kind of counter-protesting. And they came over to her and told her she was going to hell for wearing pants because she didn't dress like a lady should.
Of course, because I'm sure that the almighty creator of the multiverse is really going to stop having reality itself move in its intricate beauty and form to be like, oh, that bitch is wearing pants.
Smite thee!
Bitch, I'm a smite your ass. Our next piece of feedback is from Kinsey, who says, the Westboro Baptist Church interview is a great way to kick off Pride Month. Do be honest with you. That did not even occur to me when I suggested it. I really wish I had thought of that because I would have made a new intro for it where it was like the theme song for Queer as Folk with me just going like, happy Pride, here's an interview.
Yeah, the stars kind of aligned on that one, didn't they?
In a very inappropriate way. Next one up is from Mr. John Grant. 2 weeks waiting for a new podcast? It's about time. Ha ha! I seriously can't wait to hear this one. I'm sure it's going to be as good as the other ones. I don't know why, but when I read that, I read it with, like, some real fucking sarcasm in his goddamn voice.
I do, too. Like, I read the end. I was like, I feel like it's going to be as good as the other ones, which is not good at all.
Now, mind you, I've known this guy since I was, went to college when I was 18. So I've known him for 20 years. So I can guarantee you there was fucking snark in his voice at the end of that statement. I love you, John. Thank you for listening. You really should leave a comment and 5-star review on iTunes.
All right, so this last piece of feedback was on our United Cypher site. It's from Shamik. She says, love your podcast. Steven cracks me up just by putting up with Joel's fuckery. LOL. She went on to say, I have not missed a single episode, and I look forward to these every week. I listen to them at work while dealing with some of society's shittiest people. Steven, I think you're cray to say that Cersei can be inspiring. Fuck that bitch, and her death was not brutal enough. LOL. Joel, just know that I'm still waiting.
Oh,
I don't know what the fuck that means, but
keep waiting, baby. No one loves me. I'm forever alone.
Oh, by the way, thanks for the comment, Shamik. as directed towards Joel as that was, I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and glad that we have become a staple in your weekly listening, and we appreciate you.
I love how you try and stay professional with that one, but you're just like, I'm not sure how to handle myself. Very rarely have I ever been able to get you to the point where you're just like, I got nothing.
Well, I've been podcasting for 10 fucking years. That's a hard thing to do.
I'm very happy with this. I feel like I've hit a milestone in my personal life.
All right, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. That's it for episode 10 of the Curly Mustache Podcast. Just want to quickly say thank you again to everyone that has, you know, continued to listen to us on the weekly, providing feedback, staying engaged, just listening to Joel and I talk about dumb shit. Our subscribers and listeners are steadily growing, and that means that you guys are doing us a solid and spreading the word. Please continue to do so, because like every like, every follow, subscription, download, rating, review, all of these things help us on the path to becoming even more awesome.
And inevitably, you keep doing it, and we can sell the rights of this show to AMC to have Chris Hardwick do this kind of show on AMC, and we'll make millions from it.
All right, guys, if you'd like to check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, find us at the Curly Mustache Podcast. We release a lot of content on those platforms that have to do with our episodes, So if you follow us on all of them, you'll get to see a lot of pictures and, like, I mean, we've released, like, notes and poetry and all sorts of shit that relate to the episodes that we've released. It's a great place for you to shoot us some feedback, and we'll address it right here on the show, just like we have been. If you want to check out some other podcasts that we have at United Cypher, give a listen to Music Video Countdown and Motion Picture Meltdown. They're two amazing podcasts that we currently release. Or you can listen to some older episodes of Talks Over Games, The Anime Alphabet, or Fallout Forecast. And lastly, give a listen to some of the podcasts created by friends of ours, Nerdonomy, The Whiskey Reel, Sorry to Waste Your Time, and Code Yellow, a Scare Actors podcast. With that being said, I'm Steven.
Yar, I'm Captain Joel.
And make sure you stay evil.
Yar!